in a year, and we've only got 970 to go. Since the beginning of December, there are 30 recorded, unless you've got more. It's exciting. But now we need to disciple them, we need to follow them up and make sure that they're grounded in Jesus Christ. Looking at you people served this morning, we were at a meeting in Westville, and the one speaker said, despite the fact that he's a leader in the church, he needs to be an example of one who serves. So whenever there's a meeting, like a woman's lunch, he's in the kitchen. Because somebody's got to work in the kitchen. And going down on Friday, we went down in the Pajero, and there were six of us. We put Donovan right at the back. And then I realized that if I can expect Donovan to sit right at the back, I need to do the same coming home. Next time I'll take cushions with me, so I can turn sideways and sit comfortably. So those of you who are fetched on Sunday mornings and ask you to sit right at the back, well done. Quite a sacrifice, ain't it? But praise God for my vehicle. All right. Something I want to emphasize to you people, and that is, if you have loved ones who are getting on in life, and you feel the urge to go and visit them, go and visit them. All right? I don't know if you can remember Nigel Finley, was a guitarist on the stage, and I spoke to him during the week, and he said, "My mother's so sick. I need to get to her sometime." And I said, "Go." He said, "But I'm on duty on Sunday." I said, "Cut keys. Go and visit your mother. We'll make a plan." Folks, and you two coming down today for a baptism. Well done, you two. Fantastic. Listen, fellow, you've always been an example to me. If there's ever a man who will come and greet me wherever I am, walk across and say hi, he's done it all his school life. Well done. And you are married to the second most beautiful lady in the world. Folks, I enjoyed the Best Life series. You see the hearts down? Taking those words down. And when we were in Westville on Friday, Donovan Kutsia said, "Listen, folks, here's something you can use in your church." And we could say we've done it. I really enjoyed that series. Anybody hasn't watched it, you know that we can give it to you. Bring a flash drive, a memory stick, we'll load it for you, and you watch it. But it's all about the heart. It's not really heart. Our heart attitude to life, our heart attitude to work, our heart attitude in our marriage, our heart attitude to school. It's all about the heart. Oh, by the way, this man made me laugh the other day. We go to the farmer's prayer meeting, and it's hot. I'll tell you who Warren was to be. I said, "I'll buy him a bottle of water, a specific company in town's water, by the way." And Uncle Al says, "A bottle of water for you," and he says, "I don't drink water unless it's got coffee in it." As a man. Wow.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for
I want to share 4 points with you this morning, and I want you to memorize these 4 points because you are going to share them over and over and over again, maybe for the next 2 years. But on Friday we were given one word which confirms what I've got here, and I'm going to add a bit of Friday into this for those who went with me. But the word grow. Grow. When a baby is born, it gets to a stage when it doesn't need nappies anymore. And if we don't grow as Christians and we wear our nappies until we're 21, there's something wrong with our spiritual lives. So maybe we should take the word Together to grow somehow over there. We'll have it up on next Sunday or the Sunday afterwards, alright? Grow. But now, to get there, cover a bit of basic stuff. The first point is know God. Know God. Now, if we want to know God, we need to experience who He is and enter into a relationship with Him. So now, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you come across lots of people who say, but I'm a Christian, I go to church. If you walk into the front door of the Toyota garage in Freyd and you walk out the back door, you don't look like a Toyota. Come on, get it right then. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. You have to enter into relationship with Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 16 we read, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So it's all about believing. So first of all, I'm speaking to the person who has not committed their life to Jesus Christ yet. It's our responsibility to introduce you to the King of Kings, to Majesty, that you may accept Him, that you can come to repentance and accept Him as your personal Savior. In other words, we need to reach the lost. Using the word lost? Those who are lost are not going to heaven. We need to reach them. The Bible tells us, it commands us to go and preach the gospel to all nations. Us ones that need to do, if we don't do it, we are quenching the work of the Holy Spirit. So church, we've got to change our perception about church. We've got to realize that it is not only us who have to go, but we need to help others go, but it starts with us. It starts with me, December 1969, when I cried out to God and I repented of my sins and accepted Him as my Lord and Savior. I started on my journey. And this grow is going to be a journey, like we're handling on Wednesday nights. It's a journey. Alright. So we need to know God. The unsaved people need to know God. The Bible says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. I've got a camera that I want to put here and I want to relay it into that room to the TV at the back there. We want to make it a toddler's room so parents can come to church, feel comfortable, realize that we're caring about their children and we want them here putting mattresses and toys and all sorts of things in the back there. But I lack knowledge. I've got no idea how to do it. So I need somebody to give me the knowledge how to run this little lot through there. We're going to do it. Okay. But my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And where do we get the knowledge from? In here. And then there's something I want to ask you guys. I want to ask all of you. Where are your notebooks? Fiona, where are your notebooks? When you're preaching, I sit there with my notebook. Ruth sits with her notebook. And she writes down what God's saying. And you know what? There's a little trick in this. Because God might say certain stuff to you that she's not preaching, or I'm not preaching, but He's just giving you a point that you need to write down. Okay. But also, if you need to do something during the week, you can just put it in brackets quickly so you don't forget. I believe that if God's got a message for me, and I need to remember stuff, I need to make a note. Because I'm at that stage, and you haven't arrived there, I'm afraid you're knocking it on. I'm at a stage where I bought myself some supper for last night. And I went to look for it, I couldn't find it. And I said, Lord, I don't know where I'll put it. Help me. And somebody phoned me and invited me to Spur. I found it this morning, Uncle Elf, so it's going to be lunch. Now, if you, at that stage, folks, come on, I've got to make notes. And I want to write down what's precious to me. So I want to encourage you to do that. You know the best place to do it in these days is modern technology, on your notebook, on your cell phone. Okay? And then you can make me think that you're making notes, and in the meantime you're SMSing your girlfriend appointment. I don't know. But anyway, let's carry on. Know God. Know God. In our growth process, we need to know God. The unsaved need to get to know Him. Our saved people need to know Him more. Look at Robert Morris last week, how he listens to God and God speaks to him. God says to Robert, give a car away. Now you don't give a car away unless you've heard God. Right. Let's get to that place, folks. Come on. Next place is to find freedom. That's the point number two, find freedom. So we lead somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we need to take them to a place where they find out who they are in Jesus Christ. Okay. They need to be discipled. We need to pray for them. We need to connect that person to a Bible study connect group. Okay, so what I do with people is who I know need to talk, I meet with them on a fairly regular basis. And if you want me to pay the coffee, I'll meet with you as well. But you know, when I get to sitting with a man like I did this last week, I say to him, how are you? And he tells me, I'm fine. What do I do next? That's right. How are you? And he'll say, I'm fine. And the third time I ask, how are you? Dan begin hy praat. And you get the truth. You know, unless you build a relationship, you're not going to get anywhere. And it's Isela met die nieuwe Christen. They need to be able to build a relationship, and a small group concept church is the way to go. Because when there are fewer of you, you will talk. You will feel comfortable. And they won't join your group unless they are comfortable. So when it comes to finding freedom, this is where we have to go. So we need to get to a place where they can speak out and they can share. We need to be in a place where we can speak out. I want to tell you that Paddy Hughes, Ruth's dad, was my punch bag for years. I'd come and speak to him about my problems. Bet you about that for dinner, he listened. And by the time I poured everything out, I'd solve my own problem. But I had somebody to talk to. I want to tell you, friends, this morning, I've got a cousin, Dr. Edward Gale. He is also 89 years of age. When Dr. Edward Gale dies and goes home to be in heaven, I'm not going to be in prayer. I'm getting to an aeroplane and going to Cape Town if they give me the opportunity on a burial. I tell you why. For some reason, Dr. Edward Gale would phone me when I needed him. Wow! He'll phone me, how are you doing? How's your cancer treatment doing? Listen, John, who's your doctor? Dr. Kelly Mukhanet Medayo. I want you to tell me, what are you doing to him? We need people, mentors, like that in our lives. Let's become mentors. You don't have to remember, let's become mentors and be there for others. So find freedom is point number two. Number three is discover purpose. Discover purpose. Now, we all are, a church is like a jigsaw. And every one of us fit in perfectly into the spot that God has designed for us in the church. So don't come to me and say, John, I don't know, or I don't think I can fit in, or I want to tell you, you can. Alright. But now, we need to build relationships in discovering purpose. But also, we have to get to the place where we look at our spiritual ministry. Now, we Pentecostals are strong on this. We need to know where God wants us. Maybe you are a person who will help others with knowledge or wisdom. God will use you in miracles. God will use you in prophetic. God will use you whatever. Das plek dit elk een van ons. And so now we are going to go on a growth track, a journey like we have. I just changed it to growth track. Alright. So we need to discover our purpose. Your purpose might be putting the cups and saucers out on a Sunday morning. Your purpose might be putting the chairs up. Your purpose might be making yourself available to visit one person at the old age home. You as a teacher, and we have quite a few in this church, there's that one little boy or girl. You pressurize at work, but that person's your purpose. In this body of ours, we need each other. We need to establish our purpose. Why don't we get involved for God? Why aren't we fired up? Why aren't we excited about what Jesus Christ is doing? It's because the ruler of darkness will do anything to prevent the church being fired up for Jesus Christ. He will plant doubts in your mind and say you can't do it. You're going to say, he'll say, but what are other people going to say if I get up and I pray for the church? Okay, the girl did. I'm going to share what we shared on Wednesday, and I've shared it to you before. How does God see you? How do you think God sees you? How does Jesus Christ see you right now? Jesus Christ sees you right now as a finished product who He, in some years to come, is going to introduce to God the Father, and He's going to introduce you to God the Father having finished all the work that He's set out to do. The years to come, the challenges you're going to face, the repentance you're going to have to be doing, the growing that's going to take place in your life, and overcoming obstacles and temptations and hindrances. And He sees you having completed all that He knows you're going to go through, and then He sees you as the one who's going to say, God, my Father, here is John McKenzie, knowing the completed work. But you know what us horrible people do? If somebody does something wrong, we label them. You shared something years ago about putting people in a box, and you label the box. Sinner, rapist, murderer, cheat, liar. And that person can repent as much as they like and come before God, but we keep them labeled, despite the fact that God's forgiven them. Let's change our outlook on people. Let's see each other as a product who God's still working with. Right? Allowing everyone to discover their purpose in Christ. But the devil doesn't want you to take that route. He doesn't want you to do that. Another reason why we don't get to where we want to go, and I've mentioned this already, is the lack of knowledge. What do you know about eternal life? Do you ever believe it? Do you know that it's eternal, it's forever? What do you know about Jesus Christ coming again? When's He coming again? What's going to happen when He comes again? Are we ready for Him to come again? The lack of knowledge is a problem. We need to be waiting for Him. One day I'll preach about 5 different crowns that we get. One of them is looking, the person who looks out for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to receive a crown. Those who are martyred and lose their lives for the Lord receive a crown. There are 5 different crowns. But He's coming. What are we clear about that? Do we know about that? Are we concerned about our loved ones who are not serving God yet, who when He comes may go to hell? What do we know about, what about knowledge? The knowledge of His Word. The prayer, effective prayer of a righteous man, the interpretation is like dynamite. What do we know about prayer? We need to know our purpose. Point number four. Three. Point number four. Did I give you 3 or 4? How many have I given you? Ah, one more. I love this one. And this one is, make a difference. Make a difference. I'm going to use names. Ruth says, I mustn't refer to people in the church service. But I want to tell you something, you people. Savannah has made a difference in this man's life. All of a sudden he's in love. Portray the love of Jesus Christ and make a difference in somebody else's life. Be patient with people. Try and understand what they're going through when they have a bad hair day. Everyone has an appointment with Jesus Christ somewhere, because the Word teaches us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now what about the unsaved? Those who are not going to heaven, does that verse apply to them too? Yes, it does, because once they get there and they realize, hold on, I was wrong, He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I should have followed Him, I'm going to fall down on my knees and I'm going to ask God, be merciful, and you can't say too late. But they'll also bow, they'll also confess, it's going to happen to them. So how do we make a difference this morning? 4 points. Simple little message, but I want to emphasize where we're going. We're going on a growth trip. Alright. First of all, we need to know God. We need to know God. We need to experience God in such a way that when He speaks, we can hear Him. Next one is we need to find freedom. The best way a new convert can find freedom is that we disciple them in the basic Word of God. That's why our small groups are there. That's why you attend Bible studies. Get into the Word of God. Find freedom. The discipleship. Discover purpose is our gifting. And make a difference. Be an imitator of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you have a look at the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, 9 fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. What's it? They're 9. The easiest one of them all in the theology is self-piercing. Self-control is the easiest one of the lot, isn't it? You all don't agree with me because you're right to be. Struggle with self-control. We struggle with things like temptation and all sorts of other things. But I want to emphasize that then. We're going to have a challenge and close in prayer. If you read Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit van die Heilige Geest. You can't have one without the other. You either have the Holy Spirit or you don't. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, I think, and self-control. You have to have all 9. Because it's a fruit, it's one fruit of the Spirit. Did you learn something today? One fruit. The character of Jesus Christ. If you're born again, Spirit-filled, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ lives in you, you have the character of God in Jesus Christ within your life. Lekker, eh? That's what we call this word. Lekker, eh? It's fantastic. Okay. Now, folks, what else is hindering us from serving God? I don't know. Maybe you're struggling to portray affection to somebody. Is it because of a lack of patience? Are you not excited about life because of the stress and pressure life throws? How about the willingness to stick to God's plan? Have you got a compassionate heart when you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off? How about our conviction concerning holiness, living a holy life? The Bible tells us in James, be holy as your Lord is holy. Self-control, resisting lustful thoughts, envy, anger. Maybe you're cruel and you can't overcome it. You know, then there's a list of drunkenness and jealousy, hatred, pride. How about low self-esteem? What about the lack of boldness? There are all these things that hinder us from being the person who knows God, experiences his freedom, who discovers purpose, and makes the difference. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the disciples were told, remain here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then you will be my witnesses. You'll have the boldness, you'll have the strength, you'll have the power to make the difference. So, Pentecostals, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to trust God to empower us. Okay. We need joy, peace, and happiness in our souls. And if we're going to go along this growth path, we're going to emphasize those 4 points on a regular basis. But you know, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, you should be checking your Bible and make sure he's not preaching heresy here. I think it's 2:38. Where the disciples went out after being empowered by the Holy Spirit, and this is what they said. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And this is what I believe we should be doing. Jenny repented. She committed her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. She's been baptized. If you haven't been baptized, come and speak to me. If you say it's not in the Bible, show me. But the water's waiting. Oh, God blesses obedience. But then it carries on to say that as these disciples preached the word, fear fell amongst them, and they turned and committed their lives to God, to Jesus, and thousands were added to their number. Is that right? So let's do what God wants us to do and allow Him to bless our obedience. And then we'll see signs and wonders taking place at the preaching of God's word. Now I'm praying that God brings about those 4 points in your life and mine, in the life of this church. Know God. Find freedom in Jesus Christ. All His promises are mine. Discover purpose. I want to upgrade in Jesus Christ like I have in motor cars. I bought a Skyline for 20,000 rand. No, let's start at the Datsun Pulsar, 1,663. 140YGX, 1,663. Datsun Pulsar, 3,600 rand. Went up to a Skyline for 21,000 rand. And then I bought a Toyota, which was an upgrade because it had a fifth gear. Then I upgraded to a Bucky. Now I've upgraded to a Pajero. What I'm trying to say is I want to upgrade in Jesus Christ. I want to upgrade. So I also need to discover purpose. And then I also want to continue making a difference. Church, let's grab those 4 points. Let's make them our own, and let's make a difference so that we can grow spiritually and those we minister to adopt those 4 points. We care for them. We love them. We take them to a place in Jesus Christ where they can reach, teach, grow others. But it's going to cost this church, because we're going to expect you to nurture others. Alright? When a baby is born, it cannot feed itself. It's got to be nurtured until it's old enough to look after itself. And God's going to have ministries birthed through us. We're going to have people we have to nurture, people who we're going to have to help grow in Jesus Christ. And we all need to be involved. Because if God's going to use us to lead 1,000 souls to Him in 1 year, I cannot do it on my own, and they have to be discipled. They have to get onto the grow path. I challenge you folks to come on board and let's see God do this wonderful work through the life of this church. So if there's anybody who of you in a place where God has pressed a button this morning and you've said that, you know what, God, I've got to respond to that. As I close in prayer, you just say, God, this is what it is. Where are you seated? We're going to trust God for a breakthrough. What I said to you last week, when believers hit a wall, we don't turn around and run away, we break through. So let's do that. Let's close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And thank you, Lord, that you don't want us to remain where we are today, but you want us to grow spiritually. You want us to take the next step. So, by your Holy Spirit, lead and guide us, speak into our lives, each and every one of us. But Lord, there are places where we need to allow you to deal with issues in our lives, and we trust those issues to you right now. You know what they are, Lord. And we want to get rid of them. So we trust our lives to you and ask you, Lord, to deal with us. And through it all, Lord, may we know you more. May we experience your freedom. May we discover more of your purpose for our tomorrow. And Lord, may we, for your honor and your glory, make a difference. We trust ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please don't run away. Don't run away. We're all going to celebrate Jenny's baptism. What I want to suggest is that when she goes through the water, let's make a difference. We all come to the front and stand here. And Bev, will you take a video, please? Alright, and bring your cameras. Let's make it happen. This is an experience that very few people in other churches experience because they don't baptize. But also where Jenny comes from. It's been a long journey and she's there. Right, it's going to happen. I'm just going to take my shoes and socks off and fetch my towel. Please clear the stage. Thank you.